And good afternoon and good evening. Hello to all of you folks across the country and around the country. Wearing these glasses, it gives a terrible reflection. Now, who told me this? Little Miss Know-It-All, I'm Dr. Demetria Clark in the studio.
Hi, everyone in radio and TV land. Hope you guys are having a great morning so far.
Well, the reason why I've asked Dr. Clark to be here on the show is because, as you all know, Grassroots is embarking on a tremendous campaign to get our kids off the street into vocational training programs to build flashback investment. But I think some of you folks need to know, well, who are our children? What kind of help are they getting? Why aren't they ready? So why not ask an authority? But so first, qualify yourself. What makes you that's cool?
A professional psychologist. I have been working with children.
All right. Anyway, folks, we had a drop. Sometimes this world is being run by technology, and it is not perfect because it was invented by man. And I think if the women were running it, it would probably come out a whole lot different. All right. Anyway, Dr. Clark, you are a professional psychologist?
Yes, I am.
Been in the field for how long?
Wow. More than 15.
Okay. Now, the young people that are in foster care and group homes are probably there for a whole lot of reasons. We don't need to do that one today, but I will, because that deep, dark secret need to come out into the light so you know why you need to support Flashback Institute. However, let's talk about, are the children really ready? What are they going through when they're in group homes? Getting close to emancipating. What happens?
Well, most of our children are not ready because they're not getting the quality of care and they're not getting the independent living skills that they need while they are in the group home setting. A lot of the staff that is providing the care is not qualified to be able to give them the skills and techniques that they need. And those who are, they just consider these more like babysitting jobs and kind of kickback jobs. And so the less they have to do, then they don't do it.
How much does the average person make frontline staff doing this kind of stuff? And I think you folk really need to hear this one, okay? Remember, we're going to talk about the pieces that people really won't say.
It's been a long time since I've been a frontline staff person. They don't make any, if they're making $11 an hour, then that's good.
Well, you hit it on the mark because I've done my history too. Somewhere between 10 and $12 an hour, you might get the administrator that might make $15 an hour, possibly 20, but it's very rare. However, the owners make a boatload of money, and you think that the money that's supposed to be invested in that, that these kids can be fixed. How come they're not getting fixed? And you have such a tremendous homeless ratio by the time they emancipate.
Well, the bottom line is the more the more it's for having to care for that child.
The more disturbs on a child, it says, oh, this kid's really troubled.
Well, usually what happens once a child enters into the group home setting, then they are automatically referred for mental health services because it's seen as if, because they're in this new situation, that, yes, it is a traumatic event, but some kids adjust really well and are very resilient and don't need the mental health services. But if you can attach that to your program statement, then you're getting ready to make some money.
Can you interpret that into regular English for you people? Even if a kid does not need they're going to do them anyways. It is a bit cost and means that the people out there in group home and foster care land make more money on these kids. Sometimes they even cause harm. I'm going to hit you on harm because I had a story that happened the other day, and Lord knows I want to say which group home it was. We had a staff who fell in love with the girl at the group home.
And that will oftentimes happen.
Oh, that wasn't an isolated situation?
Unfortunately not.
Okay, since I'm out of time on the tube, I'm going to stay here on the radio. Why do we need a place like Flashbacks?
We need a place like Flashbacks because this is an institution where children who are emancipating from the system and who have have not been given those critical independent living skills will gain those skills and learn a beneficial trade that can help support them in the real world.
If you want to know more about Flashback, you can visit us on Facebook at Flashback Institute, or go to our nonprofit site at grcnconnects.org. Now, that's it for the TV part. We'll see you folks out there in TV land later. Let's continue on with our radio broadcast here. How you doing with time? I know you got a whole lot of other people that you got to see and cure, right?
I'm good.
Okay. You're not filming no more, right? Thank you. Okay. Moving right along here. Our children, when they're in the system, they start taking different types of prescribed medication, yes?
Yes.
That medication could be something like?
A lot of times they're taking medications for antidepressants, they're taking stimulants for ADHD.
Excuse me, you hit a 50-cent word again. What is ADHD?
Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder.
Okay. That's a mouthful. And some of these kids actually suffer from that?
Some of our kids do, but a lot of our kids, especially our African-American males, are commonly misdiagnosed with having ADD or ADHD, and they are often medicated when they don't need to be medicated because that's not a true diagnosis for them.
Then what's the harm if you have a misdiagnosis?
Well, because the medication will backfire, and you won't see the true behaviors of that child being addressed.
Okay, let's move on. When a child emancipates, 18 years old, they have the prescriptions, although the staff have to administer the drugs when they are in the system, but when they're out, what do?
Oftentimes, they stop taking the medication.
And then what happens?
Sometimes their mental health disorders will get worse.
Who's there to help them or even monitor it?
If they have not been given the right resources and connected prior to leaving the group home setting, oftentimes they don't get support.
Is there a lot of victimization that happens when a child winds up emancipating?
Yes.
Like what?
Well, they become a victim of the streets, and they oftentimes will become homeless. And as a result of being homeless and having to use their own devices, they often make poor choices that can be harmful and just self-destructing.
I'm going to repeat something that happened the other day. There was a young man who came to our program. He's really excited about being a part of the program. And after it was over, he pulls me to the side and says, "I need to tell you something." So I go, "What?" They got my stuff in the car. "Oh, really? Where are you going?" "I'm going to a transitional house, but I really don't want to go." And he was kind of sad. You could tell he was accustomed to having a persona of being a tough guy. But that was melting away very fast as the hourglass was ticking. So I followed up and asked, "Well, what happened to the child?" "Oh, well, he's not going to a group home. We dropped him off at the shelter." But I'd given the child my number because, for me, it's appropriate now to give a child my number because he's out of the system. So the child calls me up, and I still call him a child because he's a lot younger than me. He says, "You know what they did?" "Well, what did they do?" "One, they lied and they told me I was going to a shelter, to the transitional house, and then they dropped me off at the shelter, and I was not getting out. But they took my bags, they put them on the curb, then they drug me out the car and put me on the curb too and drove off like they had stole something." Is that common?
Unfortunately, I'm not surprised by anything that happens anymore.
That should be a law against that. But the reality was the kid legally was out of the system. We know that there are some kids that are in the system that drive the group home staff crazy, and they'd be glad to get rid of them anyway. But the reality was the child has been abused once by being and then placed in the home, and then now there's another form of abuse, abandonment. That and they are an adult, and most likely they are a adult child in the body of an adult, so they're really not knowing how to process this. And like you say, then they are left to a whole lot of devices. I want to really, really thank you for taking out the time to come to our home, to our studio. And if you could share some parting words with people who, the families that are out there, we call them kinship, but they know that their child's in a group home and that child's on their way home. What can we do to motivate them to kind of embrace it? Let's give this kid some kind of chance or something, because I don't think they really realize this. The kids, they're being told, oh, yeah, come on, we can't wait to have you home. And the kid know that they don't want them to come home. Is there anything you can say to those families, okay, out there?
I think one thing that the families can do is to be encouraged, and know that it's going to take time. There's a piece of the puzzle that has been broken. And in order to put the pieces of the puzzle together, it's going to take some work on everybody's behalf. Don't be so quick to throw in the towel. Allow yourself to make some mistakes, but allow yourself to learn from those mistakes and know that small wins result in big wins. And as long as everyone's willing to work together, the pieces of the puzzle will be put together and you eventually will have a whole pie again.
Wow. You know, it touches me every time I look up at a statistic that a homeless person was killed or murdered, beaten by the police. And unfortunately, yes, that happens too, because if a young person as an adult is out acting kind of crazy, they think he's just on some kind of street drug and they don't realize it. He may have just come from a group home, and like you say, he's not really balancing his stuff. And we just found some really interesting programs out there that might be able to assist us. But we need some private funding and donations, and I would love for you folks to visit Flashback Institute, find out more about it. Our show is also is being brought to you by Flashback Institute. And if you go to our sponsorship page on Grassroots Talks, you'll see there are a few other companies that are out there that are lending their support, but it's never enough because the homeless rate is ridiculous. I'm going to shift over to another one really quickly here, and it's there are children in group homes, girls, young women, whatever you want to call it, that have children.
Okay, you guys have joined us back on Grassroots Talks. Wrapping up our conversation here with Dr. Tametra Clark, who has provided some really insight on what goes on with our kids' system and what goes on with them out. And I think from a clinical perspective, sometimes you guys want to know, well, what are the professionals saying? She is more than qualified, and not just speaking from some ivory tower where she what are their struggles? Are they really saying, hey, I can't wait to leave, or are they really scared to leave?
Most of them are very scared to leave.
Do they admit it?
No, they won't admit it.
All right, I'm going to wrap up here, but I need to follow up on our show the other day. And I had some young ladies who had a child, but they were not married. So the husbands weren't, or the fathers were not in the picture. And I asked this one young lady, about communication, because we went into corporal punishment where parents came from with whooping their kids, and when did it become abuse? So she says, well, I can talk to my child about anything. Oh, really? So I asked her when she was going to have the talk. Well, I started telling him early, okay, because boys kind of play with themselves anyway. You probably know a young adult, too, as we continue to move forward. But that's not the point here. The point of it is, I need you to provide some advice for young people, young ladies in particular, who may not have that husband or that Prince Charming because things just sometimes don't work out. How do you have the talk with your son, or do they learn on the street? Because what really grabbed me was the child or the parent said, nobody gave her the talk, and maybe somebody did need to know how to give the talk. Can you do that? You got a kid? Did you have the talk? We'll reserve that answer for later. But how do we do the talk?
Well, I don't think there's one set way that you do the talk. And I think the talk has to be done on an individual basis. And when I say that, I mean, it depends on the relationship that you have with your child. And you have to be comfortable with it yourself. And a lot of times, adults just are not. That is still seen as a taboo conversation in many, many households. And they would rather them get it from the streets and then bring the talk to them.
They would rather them get it from the streets and then come have the talk. Example, the young lady who we spoke to says, I didn't have the talk prior, but after all was said and done, then we had to talk later. Okay? So, anyway. But what do they say? Like you said, there's no standard, but we didn't need some kind of example. Example, come here, little Johnny, let me tell you. But like you say, the girl's got to be comfortable with herself, or the parent does, and maybe she don't know what to say because she's never been an adolescent boy, you know?
I think for me, the talk didn't occur until it was in bits and pieces when he was in middle school, and I think it was easier for me to have the conversation just because of what I do. So once he started getting into girls and this whole change in the girls becoming more the aggressor started to happen, then for me that was kind of like my way in to say I need you to kind of take a look at what and how you're being approached and why they're approaching you and, you know, what are some things that you can do.
I gotta go there. That statement of where women became the aggressor. Because back off in my day, and y'all know that was a long, long, long time ago, we used to have a pretty good line just to talk. These boys don't even have to open their mouth. That's why most of our young men talk like idiots. But what do the girls have to talk, or are they just talking amongst themselves? Or is it out of desperation because all our good males are being locked up?
Some girls have the talk. The reality is there's just not a lot of parents who, they say I'm open with my child and my child can come to me with anything, but that's a statement that you have to be ready for, because when they bring it to you, and if you show it on your face that, okay, I'm stumped, then you might lose the opportunity to talk to them about anything ever again. So you've got to be ready for it.
Do you think that they maybe go to their priest or to their social worker or somebody else as a mediator to help them with that talk?
They'll go to their friend before they seek another adult figure to give them that information.
We hope that that turns out well. That is a topic that we got to come back with at another time. Ladies and gentlemen, you guys just got to visiting with our very special guest, Dr. Clark. I want to thank you again for being on the show. And you folks, if you'd like to ask a question at another time, just write us at Grassroots Talks 1, address it to Dr. Clark, and I'm sure that she'll be more than delighted to answer your questions or provide you with a resource or some tools to help you have that talk. And if you're kind of doing a few things that you're concerned about, the system coming in and taking your child away, you need to get on the phone, because sometimes the best thing that the child is in the home with you and you can't possibly fix it. But if there's an abusive situation, you need to go check yourself in the system before they have to come and drag your child out. That's another part of the story. Anyway, I want to thank you. Hopefully we'll get ready to go into a commercial, and I'd like to see you much later down the road, but please come back on the show. All righty. Bye. Okay. Next up is going to be Rose. Some of y'all want to know who is Rose. Are we talking Rose Dawson of the Titanic? No. Are we talking Gypsy Rose Lee, the radio host in 1945 who did all of the propaganda for Japan to try to tell us that he was losing the war? No. We're going to find out who Rose is. Just a moment, as soon as we can kind of help continue to shuttle Dr. Clark off. And see you later soon, okay? And Rose is a fashion designer, up and coming, okay? And the key word is up and coming. But I've seen how she's put a couple little bit of her attire together. And what Rose will be doing on our show from now on is actually talking about the way people dress. And it's not going to be just the average Joe. It's going to be about some of those celebrities who got all that money and still dress tacky, too. How you doing, Rose?
I'm good. How are you?
We're doing pretty good. Now, this thing about fashion, when did you get into fashion?
I'd say about high school.
Okay. And is it because everybody kept telling you, oh, you're so pretty, or what happened?
That and a mix of seeing all kinds of people rather than just having two classes of students and seeing uniforms. I got to see a mixture of TV and seeing people dress like those people on TV as well and wanted to know how I could get in touch with that.
So you designed a few outfits already?
Yeah, as an application to apply for FITM.
FITM, what is that?
FITM is the fashion merchandising school in downtown L.A.
Oh, okay. All right. And Flashbacks actually has a play coming up, and I understand that you're going to take on possibly an acting role, but also the costume and wardrobe designing for us.
Yeah, the clothes are featuring 1920s and 1950s looks, so I'm going to give a shot at designing a few outfits for the play.
Okay, and we'll be telling you folks more about it, but you can mark your calendar now because on November the 19th, because every year we do a theatrical performance, usually it's centered around Thanksgiving because most of the people that our children have no family, and we just don't want to sit up and have our turkey dinner and not be able to include the children who we've worked with for so long. So, put your camera over there, please, without bumping into it. sorry about that. We're doing some multitasking because our shows are live, and we got young people actually in here doing engineering, and they're doing exceptionally well. But now, let's talk about a couple of people who we'll get to the celebrity in a minute. The average person that I saw over the last several years had been wearing saggy pants. I'm talking about the boys first, okay? Is that attractive to the girls?
Well, the type of girls I hang around know it's pretty disgusting. Who wants to see a guy's butt that's big in New York at times or the sweat that's in the crease of their butt? I don't know. It's just not appealing to me.
You know what? If you're a youngster out there listening, I know that kind of disappointed you, but if you saw how fine this young lady is and you knew you wanted to have a chance, you would go ahead and pull your pants up, okay? And for you ladies out there or mothers that might be listening, play this show back to some of your young men out there, okay, so that they get a feel. Young ladies are not attracted to that, okay? Not the ones who have a little bit of class about themselves. But now let's go to the girls because we're talking about what's inappropriate on dress first before we get to some of the great things, okay? Young ladies who dress inappropriately, what's inappropriate for a woman's eye? Because guys, we're kind of visual. The more the girls show, we like that anyway. But sometimes it can go over the top. What's inappropriate for women to dress?
When I see a young woman dressing inappropriate, I usually get like disappointed at things when I see a girl's butt out. And I'm going as far as shorts that go up to the creasing of the bottom of someone's butt. I hate when people show their thongs purposely.
You know what? Yeah, because I just made a statement, saying the more the merrier. But as you mentioned, it's like, no, leave something to the imagination. Damn. Okay. All right. Now that makes a lot of sense. Now, there was another fashion change that happened where women used to wear fishnets. Then they used to wear stockings. But now, it's not about that no more.
Yeah, it's funny. I was just going to start talking about how to wear tights. Like women that don't have that stature when they have, like, out-of-shape bodies and they wear...
You mean cottage cheese thighs?
Yeah, but... Yeah, that...
Do black women get cottage cheese thighs, too?
Black, white, Chinese, Filipino, I think everybody can get it.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. So now what about the hair? Is that important?
I think that's the most important thing when styling a woman's look.
Yeah, their look. The hair has to be important. Or, okay, then let's take a look at the guy. Guys with froze, attractive?
Depending on what kind of texture of hair he has. Wiz Khalifa? No. Cut that off.
Who?
Wiz Khalifa.
Okay, see, now we're starting to hit a little bit on the celebrities. I guess he's a celebrity, is he?
He's a rapper.
He's a rapper, yeah. Okay, all right. What about guys with bald hair? Is that attractive?
So bald hair.
Is it only because he had been in the limelight and y'all you got used to seeing his face?
Yeah, because I love him.
What about the guy who was in the studio who claimed himself to be a prophet? He had a bald head.
Fox. All
right, well, he's got some work. All right. What about the bozo look?
What's that?
Once upon a time, there was a character by the name of Bozo the Clown. Bozo the Clown actually had a fro on the side, but nothing on the top.
That's disgusting to me. I don't know.
It's either cut it off, and if it ain't feeling, don't do that. Is that?
Before I had a nice, attractive hats out there for people to wear.
But it's how to wear the hat. Well, wait a minute. Ain't that setting up a false perception? Because if the guy's wearing the hat all throughout the date, every time you see him and he's in a hat, then all of a sudden you're intimate, and then he pull off his hat, you'd be like, huh? What?
Well, fake it till you make it then.
Okay. But then again, we know about the false advertisement because I know sometimes women probably have worn things to make their chest fill out, and, you know, then when the guy gets home, he's like, ah, damn, but I'm sorry, I should do anyway, right?
Yes. The other day I was just grocery shopping at the department store, and I saw a Latino woman with butt pads on.
How did you know she had a butt pad on?
Because, like, it looked overly shaped.
She might have been related to J-Lo.
J-Lo's butt doesn't look like that.
Okay. All right. Staying with the fashion thing, let's take a look at a particular celebrity right now, guy and gal, and we're literally going to look at how they put themselves out there and the image that they project, and maybe it doesn't work, and then we'll end it with what does work, okay? Let's take a look at, if you can't think of one, I'll throw one out. You got one? A guy that dresses totally wrong for his look. Anybody?
Amber Rose and Wiz Khalifa.
Oh, she gave me two. Say them again?
Amber Rose and Wiz Khalifa. That's
oh, a guy and a girl. Oh, this is good. Yeah, there was a couple. I can't remember the name of it because the guy just got through passing, and they've been a couple forever and ever and ever, and everybody thought that she was too good for him, but they were the perfect couple for each other. And I was thinking about the couple that wasn't really good because I want to go back to what you said, which was Bree. And what was that idiot's name with the Jerry Curl? Rick James. That was a terrible-looking couple. Rick James looked like, yeah, he made Bozo the Clown look sane. Anyway, now, why did you pick this couple? What's about them?
I don't know. First of all, the girl that I'm talking about just broke off a relationship with, they just broke up, Kanye West. And I don't know, it's kind of weird to see her change her type so fast. Maybe they do have something in common behind closed doors, but from what I see in the music and how they dress and represent themselves, it's totally different. And she's like a mature woman. He looks like he can be a little Bow Wow's little cousin or something.
Okay. Are we saying that this lady is not dressing age appropriate?
He looks like a mature woman, and he looks like a little boy.
A mature woman. Give me an example.
Like J-Lo dating Little Bow Wow. That's what they look like together.
Okay, that would be a different. Yeah, that's a mature woman versus Little Bow Wow has grown up in it. He kind of changed. Like people said he was a cute little boy, but as he got older, his features didn't seem to compliment him as much. Do you agree?
His head.
He's still cute.
He still has like some cute qualities and features, but it's like his head grew into a balloon or something.
Okay. Now, what about his haircut?
Little Bow Wow. It's clean. I'm glad he cut off those braids.
That was a tired look. All right. Snoop Dogg's dress.
Too gangster for me. It's like I think he needs to grow up.
Yeah. He needs to grow up. It's like, dude, you, what, how is he, 100 or something? You ain't got to keep dressing like that. You move on.
Got him in a lot of trouble, too. I'm not saying that was a main part of him getting in trouble, but, like, people were killed and names were slandered and careers are ruined over the way you guys represented yourselves, and you just knocked yourself down a little, and no, it's just like a year later, and you still carrying yourself as that same person. You're just not as loud as you used to be.
The community down with him, I think that was the all right, now we're going to go to some successful dresses before we get ready to wrap up our show. Let's talk about a guy who dresses appropriately for his age and makes himself look good, and with his wife, too, although I'm not going to talk about scandal just yet. Maybe, maybe not. We'll see. Will Smith.
Was that really a scandal?
Oh, I'm going to go into it in a second. How does he dress?
I like his style. It's cool.
And Jada Pinkett?
He's cool, too. They dress age-appropriate and carry themselves very well.
Okay. Now, the scandal, did you know which one I'm talking about?
Oh, just a rumor.
Huh. Okay. Well, let's go with just the rumor. She's on the set with the guy who used to be with, who was his girlfriend? Was it J-Lo? Yeah. Okay. His wife. Now, they broke up after 7 years, and they're on the set. They having a break. She goes into his trailer. Okay, is that appropriate?
Well, they're just friends, I think.
Okay, it sounds good. 3 hours in there, appropriate?
Maybe they're getting drunk or high or something. Yeah.
Ooh, drunk or high? Always all scandal. Is that appropriate?
It's their life. I don't know.
Excuse me. Let me back up here. She's married to Will Smith. And if your husband was hanging out with another girl in a hotel just getting high, having a few drinks, would it be cool?
Trailer on the set.
What's the difference?
Maybe somebody's in there with him.
Okay. It wasn't nobody in there with him.
Scandal.
And while they was on the set, there was a lot of overt touching and stuff. Appropriate?
No.
There you have your scandal, ladies and gentlemen. And that's why it made the news. Even though you can dress appropriately, your behavior can still be adolescent. That part was. Now, let's talk about, what motivates you to come up with a particular type of design?
My attitude for the day, for the year, for the month, how the world is at that moment. I just want to feel comfortable in my own skin, and that's what I go off of when I get dressed in the morning.
Really? Do you try to impress others?
Sometimes, maybe on a date or something, but ultimately I try to impress myself, make myself feel good.
Okay. Does it matter to you when guys give you compliments or if they don't?
When they don't, it doesn't really matter because I know who I am and know what I was looking to feel when I woke up and got dressed. So if the compliments aren't given where I don't expect, then it doesn't really matter.
Can it become like a little bit too much compliment, though?
From the same person, yeah. They keep on going on, and like in the same day or something, it kind of gets uncomfortable, but compliments are good. It makes you feel better at the end.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, our show again is being brought to you by Flashback Institute. What is Flashbacks? Where we get young people off the street into a vocational training program, and at the end of the day, they have jobs and they can compete for jobs because of the work that we did. Visit us at Facebook, Flashback Institute, and we are going to now close off for this, or shoot a video at the end because you got to shoot the video, okay? Our fashion designer, and we're going to do a simulcast, ladies and gentlemen. I would love it if you guys wound it up going on to YouTube, and I think what you're going to look for is Grassroots Talks 2K1 or 2K11, yeah, and you're going to see this one pop up live in a few minutes, okay? And the reason why I'm pausing here is because one of our young people is in the middle of trying to broadcast her. Right? No, here. We're going to go ahead and take that off. And give her some room to get up and move around and get some close-ups on it. You okay with that? We're going to talk about fashion. All right, ladies and gentlemen. Rose. Rose is a fashion designer. Are you filming yet? Rose is a fashion designer. I want you all to be able to look at her. Okay? Aside from the cute face, she stands for something and has principles. She's concerned about how she looks and the images that she projects. And she's going to give some of you young people a little bit of advice on what y'all need to do when you're preparing yourself. Let's go with the girls first. How should they prepare themselves in the morning?
First off, wake up. And the first thing you always should do is think about where you want to be in life. And it always takes somebody to crawl before they walk to get where they need to be in life. So waking up in the morning with a positive mind frame, whether it's clothing, whether it's food, whether it's, I don't know, a good morning to the person you love, everything like that always matters. So it's always good to wake up with a positive mind frame. And what I always do is want to reflect my positive mind frame off of my clothing. Many people might think clothing is not like a big thing, but it's a big thing to me. But clothing can be something simple as wearing a pair of jeans or a plain T-shirt that's $2. It doesn't matter, but always remember to respect yourself in the end of the day, starting with the beginning of the day by having a positive mind frame.
I got to ask you real quick. Back off in our day, we used to have something called an iron and an ironing board. But fashion seemed to change, and society, young people act like they don't know what an iron is. Can you tell me about that a little bit?
I never use an iron. I'm telling you, I never use an iron because, I don't know, some clothes these days, you really don't have to use iron. And sometimes clothes just are just a style, and you're not supposed to iron them, or you're going to really ruin the clothes that you iron. And clothes that I don't iron are like regular clothes to go to the mall or go to this park with. But the clothes that I usually hang up that I can't dry, they end up, like, straighten themselves out when they dry by themselves. So I don't use an iron at all. It's in the house and it's really old. I don't use it at all.
Excellent. Well, that wraps up our show. You got some friendly advice. You heard from the younger generation that the iron is not really as necessary. It's going to straighten itself out. And if it don't trip on it. On behalf of Grassroots Talks, I want to thank our engineer, our host, Rose, Dr. Clark. And remember, the whole world is a stage.